Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. So excited to see you all today. I have six announcements to share with you this morning, actually seven, and I numbered them so I would remember to say all of them, so please bear with me as I go through them. The first is to remind the nominating committee that we are going to have a meeting today after worship. After worship, the Deacon's Candy Fellowship is also happening, so go to the library, grab some candy, and meet me up in my office. Hopefully we can get started around 12:30. For that. So if you are on the nominating committee, please plan to stay after worship for a meeting. Third announcement is to remind session that we have our monthly session meeting on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the library. Also, next Sunday, November 10th, is going to be our Stewardship Sunday and chili cook-off. You don't want to miss this. Chili is delicious. So please plan to mark your calendar for that. I believe everyone got letters in the mail kind of outlining what we're planning to do for stewardship this year. So please plan to bring that with you next Sunday. The following Sunday, so November 17th, the deacons will be having their monthly meeting. In that meeting, we're basically going to be talking and planning for our Thanksgiving Day dinner, to which sign-up sheets are in the back next to the new newsletters. What?
Which are gone.
Yes, yes. So the newsletters went out, I think, Thursday, but if you would like a printed copy of the newsletter, there are a few in the back.
That's my point. There are not.
I'm so sorry. If you need one, tell me, and I will print them out, or may have somebody print them out. Okay. Sorry, I just put out the newsletters at the other church an hour ago, and I'm confusing which church I'm at and what newsletter I'm talking about. I think those are all of the announcements. Did I forget anything? No? Okay. All right. Thank you all. Let us begin our worship service today with our call to worship. The word of God is planted in our hearts. May our hearts be receptive to the word. The love of God rains down on us. May our souls soak in the wonder of God's love. The breath of God blows softly within us. May our minds be stirred by the power of God's Spirit. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 757. Today we are called to be disciples. Please join with me for our prayer of confession. Eternal God, our judge and redeemer, we confess that we have tried to hide from you, for we have done wrong. We have lived for ourselves and apart from you. We have turned from our neighbors and refused to bear the burdens of others. We have ignored the pain of the world and passed by the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed. In your great mercy, forgive our sins and free us from selfishness, that we may choose your will and obey your commandments through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God's life-giving word and spirit conquer the power of sin and death. Thanks be to God for the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Let us now respond to the word proclaimed by saying aloud together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us now greet one another in faith. Friends, I hate to cut off good conversation. Our anthem for this morning is going to be a congregational anthem, so I invite you, if you know the song, it's number 521, to join in. The congregation is going to sit for this, and the choir can lead us in it. So we are going to be singing number 521, In Remembrance of Me.
morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we have a couple prayer requests here this morning. The first one is from John and Carol Kane. They're requesting prayers for Carol's sister, Jane Borman. Jane will be having a heart procedure on Thursday. We pray that the procedure is successful and that she heals quickly. Next is actually a prayer request for Cora, Kathy Sagey's mother. Her mother was rushed by ambulance on Monday with a TIA fall. She was unresponsive for 3 to 4 minutes. Praises that all the tests done showed no damage, and she seems to have recovered with no lingering effects. I apologize. This is a prayer request also from Kathy Sagey for Pat Koss, her aunt. She has multiple myeloma and is constantly in pain. She's in the hospital with pneumonia and a small brain bleed. Prayers for recovering as God's will be done. And also another prayer request for Kathy's son, Michael. Her son is in a very deep, dark place in his life right now, and he finds joy in nothing. Please be in continued prayer that he truly feels the peace, comfort, and the guidance of the Lord can provide him. I also have a prayer request currently for my father. He fell last week, and he has an extraordinarily large open wound on his lower leg that he did not care for, and now he has to go to the wound care center. My sister was going to take him, but my sister is currently in the hospital right now, in the emergency room herself. They're trying to determine if it's a kidney stone or diverticulitis. So prayers for my sister as well. Her name's Julia. Thank you.
I have one prayer request to add to the list. David Rowe, that we've been praying for, is being transitioned to hospice care today. I am planning to visit him this afternoon, so I don't really have an update on how he's doing. So once I have that update, I will send it out on the prayer chain. But keep him in your prayers. From what I understand, his leukemia is back, and I'm pretty sure that he does not want to pursue treatment, but I will have more details once I see him, hopefully this afternoon. All right, at this time, I invite you to rise and sing one of my favorite hymns, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, number 306. Please be seated. Friends, please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. This morning, Lord, we lift before you David, Jane, Pat, Nancy's father, and Nancy's sister, Julia. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we lift up to you the folks in and affiliated with our congregation who are struggling with mental health issues. Lord, we pray that they would be able to seek help and treatment. We pray that you would guide their family and friends to know how best to support them. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to lift up to you our brothers and sisters in California who are battling wildfires. Lord, we lift up to you our nation as we approach another election day on Tuesday. We pray that you would clear the way for everyone to vote, and we pray that the folks who are running for elected office would be a good fit to represent their communities. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that Kathy's mother, Cora, is recovering well from her health scare earlier this week. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and may we do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering.
Today's scripture is from Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich. And he sought to see Jesus, but could not on account of the crowd. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, it, they all murmured, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Bless the reading of today's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So unlike Zacchaeus, I don't really know what it feels like to be short, or of having to climb a sycamore tree because I can't see over the heads of people in a crowd. But I do know what it feels like to be lost, of wanting to change, but of not quite knowing how to do it. When I was in high school, I spent my summers working at Sandcastle. For two summers, I worked at the potato patch stand, selling potato patch French fries and chicken fingers. It was hot, sticky work, and the oil that we cooked the fries in didn't really help with my adolescent acne. The summer after I graduated from high school, my supervisor approached me about a promotion. She wanted to know if I wanted to work in the accounting office. None of you who have served on a finance committee with me are allowed to laugh right now. She said that I could trade in my potato patch apron for a crisp collared shirt and shorts instead of the really ugly, like, capri pant-ish pants they made us wear. But the best part about this is that I would get to work in air conditioning instead of in one of those sweltering boardwalk stands. The only problem with my new job is it required me to be good with this thing called numbers. As many of you know, math is just not my gift. I am not somebody who can add, subtract, multiply, and divide in my head. To this day, I have to work twice as hard to understand things like church budgets, clergy taxes, and barbell math. I was even worse at this at 17 because this was before everyone had a calculator on their phone. Looking back on that summer, I realized that I probably should have just said no to the promotion. Even as a 17-year-old, I knew that I am not good with numbers, and pretending that I wasn't going to end well. But instead of being honest with myself, I decided to double down and become the best accountant I could be. Stubbornness is not necessarily my favorite trait about myself, but it's there. But I found that the harder that I worked with these spreadsheets that we had to keep, the more I made a mess of the numbers and the data. After about a month of not sleeping, of not really seeing my friends, of just being a miserable person to be around, I realized that I was never going to be a good accountant. I resigned, and I went back to working at the potato patch. I remember putting on my potato patch apron, feeling all of 2 feet tall. In our scripture passage for today, I imagine this is how Zacchaeus is feeling when he sees Jesus approaching. Here we have a man who wants to change something about his life, but he's not really sure what he should change or how. Like our scripture passage for last week, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Last week we learned that tax collectors purchased the right to collect taxes from the empire, and they made a profit by charging citizens more than what the empire demanded. So basically, they made their living by ripping off their neighbors. So while they were rich, they were despised by their communities. I'm sure that Jesus' disciples were not thrilled when they saw Zacchaeus in the crowd, because they would have seen him as a corrupt and sinful agent of a corrupt and sinful empire. But Jesus doesn't see Zacchaeus as corrupt or sinful. In fact, when Jesus sees Zacchaeus hanging from a sycamore tree, Jesus does something shocking. He invites himself over to Zacchaeus's. "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I must stay at your house today." Here the disciples are a little bit confused, because by inviting himself over to Zacchaeus's, it looks like Jesus is approving of his lifestyle. This is why the disciples grumble. He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. But here Luke turns the disciples' expectations upside down. Because Zacchaeus approves of Jesus, Zacchaeus's life changes. Luke sets Zacchaeus up to suggest that it is because Zacchaeus approves of Jesus that he recognizes that Jesus is the only way out of this sinful and corrupt life that he's living. And for Zacchaeus, the turning point in his life is when Jesus invites himself over for dinner. Zacchaeus realizes that it is only through Jesus that he can change his life. And Zacchaeus responds to Jesus by immediately changing his behavior. He tells Jesus, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay them back four times as much." This is incredible. Zacchaeus isn't just promising to pay back what he owes, he's promising to pay back what he owes plus astronomical interest. He really goes above and beyond returning what he has defrauded. Luke includes this detail to show that Zacchaeus responds to God's call by radically changing his life. Because Jesus' mission is not necessarily to punish sinners, but to seek out and save the lost. If you take nothing else away from this parable for this morning, I hope you take away that salvation is only possible through Jesus. We can't earn our salvation, and many of us, all of us, don't deserve our salvation. It is only in, through, and as Jesus that salvation is possible. What this parable is trying to teach us is that it's not enough for us to confess that Jesus is Lord. Our lives have to reflect this confession. Luke tells us that salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house because he repented, he changed his ways, and he came to follow Jesus. This parable invites us to consider, what do we need to repent of in order to follow Jesus? Or put another way, what of our behavior needs to change? If we return to my story about my month in the Sandcastle accounting office, I learned that I need to repent of going along with others to keep the peace. The whole reason that I agreed to work in the accounting office in the first place is because I didn't want to disappoint the supervisor who had appointed me. Even when I clearly have no talent or passion for accounting. And this laziness is something that I need to daily repent of. Because I've learned that there's nothing noble in going through life doing everything you can to avoid conflict. But I've also learned that I can't overcome my inclination towards laziness on my own. This is why I need Jesus to break the power that this particular sin has over my life. And it is only because of Jesus that I have hope that this sin is not going to have the final say in who I am. Now, not all of us are corrupt tax collectors like Zacchaeus, or lazy and maybe a little bit stubborn teenagers like I was. But all of us have things we need to repent of if we want to follow Jesus. This week, I want to encourage you to take some time reflecting on what this might mean for you. What sins inhibit you from fully living as Jesus's disciple? What sins do you need to repent of if you want to follow him better? I ask you to do this not so you can spend the week feeling awful about yourself, but so that you can reflect on how your sin separates you from the love of God. And I imagine you'll find that the sin you need to repent of is one that you're doing subconsciously, or maybe that you don't think is actually that big of a deal. Friends, the good news of our passage is that it is through Jesus, he who bore the weight of our sins on the cross, that God's love and salvation is possible for all of us. Short tax collectors and really bad accountants included. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I'm going to invite you to remain seated for our communion hymn. It's number 500, Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread. I'm sure you noticed when you got here that there are lovely laminated communion liturgies in all of the pews. They should be on the end of either pew. We are going to follow this basically word for word in our communion celebration today. So if you want to grab one and follow along, you are welcome to.
In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. to forever say the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share the feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Friends, the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God. The blood of Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 316, "Where Charity and Love Prevail."
Thank you.
friends, I hope you're able to stay for a minute in the deacon's candy exchange. But before we head off to that, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.